The Lord is good. The subject is set free to stay free in Christ Jesus. Set free to stay free in Christ Jesus. And that's what we are going to be teaching about this these 2 days. As you've noticed, this is a pattern we use normally in Kingdom World Ministries. When we start a program, we just seal our opening prayers and instantly we go into the teaching of the Word of God so that we can have ample time to dissect the scriptures. There is a way I like to say my opening prayer, although I've been praying since, but I just like to us to rise together and declare God's word just for a minute. Let's all rise to our feet. If you read the book of Colossians chapter 1, Paul, when he was praying for the Colossians, he prayed for them that God will fill them with the knowledge of his will in all spiritual wisdom and understanding, so that they will walk in a manner worthy of him, to please him in all respects, to bear fruit in every good work, and to increase in the knowledge of God. And based upon that, anytime I want to teach, I like the people of God to confess that word, okay, so that the Holy Spirit will be able to give us understanding. For that reason, I'm just going to lead us. Just repeat after me, all right? You can just shut your eyes and bow your head, or whichever posture you want to use to pray. Now repeat after me. Say, I am being filled with the knowledge of his will, in all spiritual wisdom and understanding. As a result of this, I'm walking in a manner worthy of the Lord. I am pleasing him in all respects. I am bearing fruit in every good work. And I'm increasing in the knowledge of God. Say, once again, I incline my ears to his word. The word is entering my heart. It is giving me light and direction. It is healing me in every area. And it's making me more and more like the Lord Jesus. In the name of Jesus Christ. Say, tonight, I receive my word. Say, tonight, I receive my own word. In Jesus' name. All right, the Lord is good. Let's take our seats. Set free to stay free in Christ is a theme. And as I was meditating and praying, what am I going to do? Because there are so many things in the Word of God. What is the specific word for this weekend? What is the specific word that I'm supposed to carry down to Port Harcourt? As I was meditating about it, what just came to my mind is that, just like we said, set free to stay free in Christ, we want to establish the fact that we have already been set free, but we have to know how to stay free in Christ Jesus. One of the passions of my heart is to see Christians understand what is correct. Because, you know, Paul was talking about the nation of Israel. He said they have a zeal for God, but not according to knowledge. What I find a lot is that Christians actually are very zealous. Once, one of my colleagues and a neighbor, when I was in Lagos, she went for an all-night prayer meeting. And when she came back in the morning, she told us they had, I'm not very sure, but something like 400 and something prayer points for one night. And I was like, what? What were you people saying for a whole night? 400 and something prayer points. Okay, let's even share the time out. How much time did you have to pray for each of those points? You see the zeal for God in the hearts of people. But many times, all right, it's misplaced. A young woman came to see me. She comes to our meeting in Enugu. She came to ask me a few questions some time ago, just a few months ago. And she said something to me that was interesting. She just finished her NYSC. She said that she almost starved the whole year. Young woman, 7. Didn't they pay you a lot? He said they did. It's just that they said, I gave out every kobo I had. As they pay me my monthly allowance, I will go and give it to church. I said, why did you do that? He said, they said that is how to prosper. I was alarmed. That is how to prosper. He said, one day, somebody, I think it was her birthday or something, and somebody gave her a gift, some money. And she told herself, at least this one, I'll be able to pay my transport. And then she went to church again on Sunday. And they said, if it has not yet pained you, it is not an offering. So she saw the one in her hand, said, this one is not allowing the other one to pay me. So she gave that one out again. I was looking at her like this. So how did you manage? She doesn't know that she almost, that is starvation. I said, God has answered your prayers. How did he answer? I said, that is why you have met me today. I said, God saw your heart and sent you to me. I said, my sister, that is not how to prosper. But your money is not totally lost because God saw your heart. You know, there was a time a man, Cornelius, he was doing a lot of good works looking for salvation. In heaven, they felt sorry for him. They sent an angel. Go and tell him, this is not the way of salvation. You have to send to Peter. Peter will come and tell you words by which you will be saved. That this salvation comes from hearing the right words, not the deeds. You are getting my point here. I'm talking about zeal for God that people have. People have zeal for God. I pray that, oh God, if the other day my wife and I were coming from Benin. Now, we passed a lot of, you know, of course, as is usual, you posters, billboards, advertising things here and there. I told my wife, I said, God, if only 10% of these both posters, billboards, you know, signboards, if only 10% of them are dedicated to teaching the truth and Christians are practicing, I said, just 10%. I said, the very grounds upon which we are walking will have felt it. The grounds upon which we are walking will have felt it. That was why Paul said, I testify concerning my brethren that they have a zeal for God, but not according to knowledge. Christians, you understand that they have been set free. They are not trying to be delivered. They have already been delivered. I want to explain that the solution to the problems of mankind is in one single word, and that word is Christ. It's in a single name. The name is Jesus Christ. The single solution to everything is Christ. And you see, later on I'll explain, anytime you take away from Christ, you are causing a problem for you and for the people around you. No matter how hard you claim you are working for God, no matter how much you are sacrificing, no matter how much you are praying, if you take away from the sacrifice of Jesus, you have really, really spoiled things. Let me summarize it like that. Let's read two portions of the Bible to start. I'm going to read both of them. First of all, from the book of Genesis, we'll read chapter 4. Then afterwards, we'll go down to Galatians chapter 1. Upon these two scriptures, we'll build up what we are discussing this weekend. Genesis chapter 1, let us start with that. Sorry, Genesis chapter 4, I meant to say. Now, initially, you may wonder what I'm talking about when I'm reading this, but just bear it in mind. We'll get back to it in a moment. Let's start from verse 1. I'll read about 8 verses thereabout. I use the New American Standard. It said, now the man had relations with his wife Eve, that is Adam, and she conceived and gave birth to Cain. And she said, I have gotten a man child with the help of the Lord. Again, she gave birth to his brother Abel. And Abel was a keeper of the flocks, but Cain was a tiller of the ground. So it came about in the course of time that Cain brought an offering to the Lord of the fruit of the ground. Now notice this. Cain brought an offering to the Lord of the fruit of the ground. Abel, on his part, also brought of the firstlings of his flock and of their fat portions. Now, and the Lord, the Bible says, had regard for Abel and for his offering. But for Cain and for his offering, he had no regard. So Cain became very angry, and his countenance fell. Then the Lord said to Cain, why are you angry, and why has your countenance fallen? If you do well, that is, if you do what is right, will not your countenance be lifted up? And if you do not do well, sin, he says, is crouching at the door, and its desire is for you, but you must master it. Let's stop here, verse 7. Now, I've read this to point out something. Two men brought offerings to the Lord. One was accepted, the other was not accepted. Now, there are many things to say about why one was accepted, that of Abel, and why that of Cain was rejected. There are many things to say. But let me just drop one slightly. You will notice that the Bible says, as for Cain and his sacrifice, it was first about Cain and then about his sacrifice. God rejected. Then Abel and his sacrifice. It was first about Abel and then his sacrifice. But the sacrifices are important. Why I read this is to let us know that not every sacrifice is accepted. Not every sacrifice is acceptable with God. I don't want to start analyzing what is wrong with who here or why, or whether it's because it's a blood sacrifice or it's not, it's a first fruit, it's not a first fruit. I don't want to talk about that. What I just want to emphasize is the fact that not every sacrifice is accepted. And if somebody offers an unacceptable sacrifice, even if the person thinks that I have a good intention, the sacrifice is still not acceptable. The thing that God does for people that are sincerely wrong is to correct them. He never blesses that which is wrong. Let me say that again. God will never bless that which is wrong. Even as a parent, I tell my wife, I said, we must never reward bad behavior. If a child does what is wrong, even if it's not intentional, you must never reward it. The best you can do is not punish it. But never reward bad behavior. Because what you reward, you encourage. You're getting the point here. If a sacrifice is wrong, it is wrong. The sincerity of the heart of the person is not the issue now. And the fact here is that not every sacrifice is acceptable to God. And I want to say it again. When I look around, a lot of sacrifices that people are offering, Christians of today, they are not acceptable. It's unfortunate our book, How to Work for God, I tried to get it because we had the first print, we're out of print, and then we're back in press. I tried to get a printer to have it ready so I could bring it down for this program. But about 2 days ago, he called me that I couldn't make it. So I said, no problem. I really wish I had it here. But if you can, please lay your hands on it, How to Work for God. It's a book I recommend all the time. Because many times people work and their work is not accepted. The sad side is that they think it is good, but it's not accepted. You must know the proper procedure so that you know whether this is good, whether God will accept this or he will not accept it. Let's bear that in mind. So what I brought out from here is that certain sacrifices are not accepted. Certain offerings are not acceptable with the Lord. Now, please just pause, hold it there. Then open also to Galatians chapter 1. Paul wrote a long number of letters. Some of them were personal letters. Some of them were to churches. In every one of his letters, the first thing he would do is to greet people. The church in Corinth, there was a terrible young man in the church that his kind of sin was offensive to Paul. Apparently, his father had a younger wife, the boy collected. Yet, Paul didn't start with that. He told them, I've heard of your faith. You do not come behind in any spiritual gift. You don't come behind in knowledge. I've heard of the love that is amongst you. That was how he greeted them. With the fact that somebody was in church committing, according to him, the kind of sin that even unbelievers don't commit. Paul didn't start with anger. Now, of all his letters, there was only one he started with anger. That's what we're about to read. Galatians chapter 1. He said, Paul, an apostle, not sent from men, nor through the agency of man, but through Jesus Christ and God the Father, who raised him from the dead, and all the brethren who are with him, to the churches in Galatia. Grace to you and peace from God our Father and Jesus Christ, and the Lord Jesus Christ, who gave himself for our sins, so that he might rescue us from this present evil age, according to the will of our God and Father, to whom be the glory forevermore. Amen. Verse 6, it says, I am amazed that you are so quickly, no greeting, just introduction. Nothing like I've heard of your faith. Which kind of faith? I am amazed that you are so quickly deserting him who called you by the grace of Christ. Please notice this. He said they are deserting him. Who are they deserting? God. They are deserting God, not Paul. Is it because they stopped going to church? No. You'll see it in a moment. You are deserting him who called you by the grace of Christ for a different gospel, which is really not another, Only that there are some who are disturbing you and want to distort the gospel of Christ. That is, if you believe a distorted gospel, you are departing from God. Are you following that? That's what Paul was saying. He said, but even if we or an angel from heaven should preach to you a gospel contrary to what we have preached to you, he is to be accursed. Listen, the young man who was committing open sin. In the church in Corinth, he said, discipline that one, peradventure, his soul will be saved. But this one, he said, if anybody preaches a gospel different from the one you have heard, let a curse be upon him. I'm not aware of any other place Paul used such a strong language. Listen, he saw a man who he was angry and said, this one, deliver him over. He said, I have delivered him over to Satan for destruction of the flesh. He said, let's see whether it will work and the spirit will be saved. He did not place a curse on the man who was committing open sin. But he said, if anybody preaches a gospel that is different from the one I preached, may God punish him. That is the common English. Let him be accursed, his Bible. You know, like old English. In modern English, what's he saying? May God punish that man. He no go better for that fellow. You know, it's just, you know, when you are, you have to learn to decode this thing in simple language. Now see, let's continue reading. He said, as we have said before, so I say it again. If any man is preaching a gospel contrary to what you received, he is to be accursed. Now, for am I now seeking the favor of men or of God? Or am I striving to please men? If I were still striving to please men, I would not be a bond servant of Christ. Let me stop reading here, please. Now, I've read these two portions to bring out something. In that first one, we realize that some sacrifices are not acceptable. Now, we are seeing that of all the things that Paul experienced, of all the kind of sins he found amongst Christians, the one that he was so angry with is that a man comes and preaches a different gospel. He said, that person who preaches a different gospel, let him be accursed. Those who believe the gospel, they are departing from God. Now, in case you wonder, what was the gospel they were preaching? Let's just really get down to it. All they were saying is that, yes, you have believed in Jesus, no problem. But for you to be fully saved, you need to keep the laws of Moses. That's what they were saying. It doesn't sound very bad. That's what I'm trying to emphasize. It's not something that you say, okay, these people, they now brought a shrine to church. After they finished worshiping, pour libation to an image. No. All they just said is that it is okay to believe in Christ. But for those of you who are not circumcised, you must be circumcised. For those of you whose children are not circumcised, you must circumcise your children. You must remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. You must follow all the laws of Moses. That was all they were preaching. And Paul said, let him be accursed. If anybody believes it, he's departing from God. Please, I hope you're following what I'm going to say here. And listen, let me quickly say something about offerings and sacrifices. First, we must offer the proper sacrifices. Without sacrifices, life is not livable. I will explain what I'm trying to say. The way God did it, of course, after Adam sinned, I am even convinced, now listen to this, even if Adam did not sin, Jesus would still have come. Maybe under different circumstances, but he still would have come. Jesus was not an afterthought. He was the Lamb of God that was slain before the foundation of the world. He was not an afterthought. I've heard people say before that, listen, if Adam did not sin, listen, even if Adam did not sin, Jesus would still have come. Maybe under different circumstances, maybe we'll have had a different kind of revelation, but he still had to come because Adam was not fully what God wanted him to be. Adam had to go through processing. How do I know that? In the garden, there were two trees. One was the tree of what? Knowledge of good and evil. And the other one was what? The tree of life. If Adam fully had life in himself, why did God split the tree there? It shows that there was a place Adam was supposed to get to. He had not yet gotten to. It's just that he was not yet prepared to eat that tree yet. So I'm going to bring up something here. Look, listen. Jesus will have come. Because without Christ Jesus, man would never have become what God wanted him to be. Let's bear that in mind. Now, I was talking about sacrifices. Without, listen, the way life is, you must offer sacrifices. You must. You must. God did in such a manner that for anybody to approach unto him, there had to be a sacrifice. After Adam sinned, he offered a sacrifice by himself. Because he gave them, he clothed them with an animal that he killed, the skin. He offered a sacrifice. He always gave a sacrifice. I'm trying to bring out something here. Without a sacrifice, nobody approaches unto God. It has never been possible. Man is alienated from God if there is no sacrifice. Now, but let me not sit down on that too much. What I want to emphasize is the fact that the sacrifice that God prepared for himself, the sacrifice that he arranged by himself, is his son, Jesus Christ. Every other sacrifice before that was, which word do I use now? Was a type or a shadow. Please, because of time, we can't bring all the scriptures. So just trust me, I'm not lying to you. Everything is lifted from the Bible. Amen? Everything was a shadow. Go to the book of Hebrews. Everything was a shadow. So if you hear of, you know, atonement offering, Passover, all those things, they were a shadow of what Jesus was supposed to be. And this is the interesting part. Every group of human beings on this earth had sacrifices as part of their culture. Every group. Everybody was offering sacrifices. That's just the way it was. But then, after Jesus came, please listen to this. In Genesis, we had two kinds of sacrifices. One of Abel, one of Cain. That of Cain was not accepted. Like I said, I'm not discussing why. After Jesus came, every sacrifice that used to exist before him became unacceptable. The only sacrifice, because every sacrifice was leading to something. And once that thing came, they became unacceptable. That was why, even though Cornelius was doing everything he was doing, good works are good, we'll talk about it again. But God said, it is not the way by which you approach unto me. But he saw the heart of Cornelius and said, this guy's heart is good, but his sacrifice is no longer acceptable. So what did he do? He said, go and tell him. So they sent a man to go and tell Cornelius that this thing you are doing does not work anymore. Let's be like this. It's outdated. It doesn't work anymore. It's no longer acceptable. You see why I'm saying all of these things? Because I found that in today's Christianity, I hear all kinds of things. God in heaven help me. I hear people preach what they call, what is that your message again, or wife? There's one talk about, is it drink offering? Yes. Christians still talk about drink offering. They talk about heave offering, show offering. In fact, some say, look, there is a show offering. Bring out your offering. Let us see it. It is a show offering. You have all kinds of offerings that people come up with in churches. And what are they supposed to do? And they will, of course, this is a mistake we will now make. We'll now go to what the law said. They said, this is how you tap into this. And I say, what are you doing? If you believe it, you are departing away from God, number one. That's, if you are believing it, you are departing away from God. But what the people are preaching it are doing is that they are taking away from the sacrifice of Jesus. Listen, having read my scriptures, I realize that there is nothing greater that God ever did for mankind than to send Jesus Christ. And he considers it an insult if somebody thinks that there is something else to offer apart from Christ Jesus. It's an insult. It's an insult to God. That is why pardon me, please. Sometimes when I talk like this, I ask myself, Banky, are you not just trying to, are you not being a critical person? But it's not, I'm not being critical. You know, I see things around and people ask you questions. That's why people will tell you that you sow a seed to break a curse in your life. You are insulting the Lord Jesus. We don't understand the depth of the spiritual, you know, negativity inside it. Some people say that, look, you offer a sacrifice to end a particular problem in your life. When you do that, you are saying that that problem has not been removed by the sacrifice of Jesus. Anytime I see it, it grieves my body. It grieves my soul. I say, God, why do you tolerate this? Because what he has done is to solve every problem in Christ. And he says, if you guys will just lift up Christ and look at him, you will discover that every curse has been broken, every problem has been solved. Why do people come and add new things to it? That's what I'm trying to explain. And unfortunately, this is a sad side. Most of the things people, Christians do, those things do nothing for them. That's the painful part. The best that God can do is to say, I have seen your heart. Send for Peter. One day somebody had a deliverance in the family and was testifying, say, oh, thank God, though, it was because of the offering my husband gave last week. Ha. So my wife said, what did you say? Assuming that the man was driving, he almost ran into a trailer. He missed the trailer and entered the gutter, but he did not die. Only the car was damaged small. The man said, thank God for the offering that we gave last week. That was what delivered my husband. Thank God for the wife I married. She didn't keep quiet though. He said, hey, listen, my sister, that did not deliver your husband. Your husband was delivered because of the grace of Christ, not because of the offering you gave last week. Now, when people don't understand this, people start making merchandise of their souls. One of our sisters went for a program recently, and the pastor, you know, called phone number. Called, this is Port Harcourt. It's very plenty here. In fact, you guys taught the rest of Nigeria. It's here now, you know, and there's a reason for it. I've not seen as many posters of churches in Nigeria as I see when I come to Port Harcourt. You are the ones that do annual witch killing conference. Did you see that in any? We don't do it in any. So this lady went for that program, and the pastor called her. No, she just had her car number called. Let me just call an imaginary one, something like Rivers, ABC 123, you know, EF. She said, "That's my car number." Ah, this man of God is calling you. She came to the front. So that is your car. The Lord said you should put it at the altar for the deliverance, for the life of your husband. Now, you see what I'm saying? So the Lord said put it at the altar. Why? He said, so, he said this is for the life of your husband. My dear sister just shook her head and said, sorry, sir, it's not my car. She said, sorry, it's not my car. It's my husband's car. He said, this is for the life of your husband. He said, I said it is not my car. Whether it's for his life or it's not for his life. I cannot give that which does not belong to me. Are you getting my point? Let me summarize like this. What gave her the confidence to answer like that? She knew that a car is not the sacrifice that delivers anybody's life. It is the death and the resurrection of Christ Jesus. Many times people, in trying to serve God, people make merchandise of their souls. Why? Because they don't know the truth. What I'm presenting this evening is for us to know the truth. And what is the truth? God is not trying to deliver us in Christ. No. He has delivered us in Christ. That's why I said set free. That is, we have been set free. But he now says, don't put yourself back under bondage. One of the major ways people put themselves under bondage is to accept that they are under bondage. Yes. Sometimes people come and say, I don't know about here, but very common on our own side. There's a problem in the family. So they say, let us go for deliverance. I say to people, they are not yet believers. If they were believers, they cannot go for deliverance. Because if indeed they are believers, they have already been delivered in Christ Jesus. That's all I'm preaching, and that's what I've come to Port Harcourt to say this weekend. Christ Jesus, he is not the founder of another religion. It's not as if this is the way, you know, some people are Muslims, some are Hindus, some follow Guru Maharaj, some follow, you know. Jesus is different. It's like water. You can't say, well, some of us eat yam, some eat bread, and some drink water. Does it go like that? Whether you eat yam, or eat bread, or eat spaghetti, or eat or whatever it is you eat, water is water. There is no substitute for water. That is how Christ Jesus is. Many years ago, I did a small study. You know, I just felt like I was happy to be a Christian. In fact, by that time, I was already a preacher, so I wasn't questioning my faith. But I said, let me just see what other people are preaching. What do their religions stand for? At the end of the day, I came to a conclusion. The man Buddha, you know, I've forgotten his original name, what we now call Buddhism. When I finished reading the story about Buddha, that if Buddha, you know, Buddha lived before the time of Jesus. Yes. I came to a conclusion that if Buddha had lived after Jesus, he would have been a Christian. That was my conclusion. Now, one mistake a lot of us make is that we think that God only spoke to the Jews. It's not true. He didn't only speak to the Jews. It is just that the prophecies concerning Christ and the redemption are stated clearly in documents handed over to Jews to keep for the time Jesus will come. I hope you're getting my point here. In different parts of the world, God didn't abandon them. It is just that they were not part of the salvation plan for the whole of mankind. When I read the story of Buddha, because he was a Hindu of some sort, and he was from India. The man was from India, I hope you know that. Yes. It's just that the Chinese took up the religion more than the Indians. He rebelled against some of the teachings of Hinduism. And in his meditations, he came up with what they now call Buddhism. Except that he never wrote any book. What am I saying? So a lot of things they call Buddhism today, I am convinced Buddha did not know about it. I mean, you've heard this story before. It's okay. I mean, when my wife was in an MBA class, they did that experiment in class. You tell this person something. The teacher tells somebody something. And then by the time it goes back to that fellow, it has changed. Buddha didn't write anything. But when I read the story about his life, because, so why am I convinced? I saw how he sought after the knowledge of truth. And I know the God I serve. If you sincerely seek after truth, he always reveals himself. He always reveals himself. So when I read the story about the man's life, I said, no, this man, oh God, he must have been a good man. The religion they are practicing now, because he didn't worship any image. His followers are worshiping his image. Do you understand my point? So you see, what they are practicing is not what he did. It obviously is not what he did. When I read his story, I said, if that man, all right, had been alive after Christ, he would have become a Christian. God would have spoken to him the way he spoke to Cornelius. And God, look, he's been doing that. I am absolutely certain that God will have spoken to him. And I said, he's still speaking to people like that today. There's a story I've told in many of my messages, or for those who don't know, of how Southern Kaduna is Christian till today. You know, if you get to Kaduna State, Southern Kaduna is predominantly Christian. The reason I heard it on TV when the former vice chancellor of Ahmadu Bello University, Professor Ishaya Odu, was being interviewed on TV, late Ishaya Odu, the man said it was his grandfather That was the genesis of that thing. Either his grandfather or great-grandfather, his ancestor, one of his lineage. And what was the issue? The man was an Islamic cleric. Just like I read about Buddha, he used to meditate, seeking truth. He was not just trying to convert everybody to his religion. He wanted to know truth. And then one day while meditating, an angel appeared to him. Angels don't appear only to Christians. An angel appeared to him and told him simply, take 2 days' journey down towards the south. On the way, you will meet people coming up towards the north. They will teach you the way of salvation. That was how the man encountered missionaries coming from the south, going towards the north. Once he saw them, he said, they said I should meet you people. Who is they? One angel appeared to me. So he sat with those people for days, encamped with them, and they taught him the gospel of Jesus Christ. And he went back to Kaduna, and because he was an Islamic cleric, he had all these, you know, Almajiris, all these people around him too. And he taught all of them Christianity. That's why generations later, they are predominantly Christian in that area. It's a man who was looking for truth. There's a book I have in my house. It's titled Dreams and Visions. You will find how Jesus is appearing to Muslims inside Saudi Arabia in 2015, 2016. He hasn't stopped it. He's not afraid of terrorists. He's not. If you can lay your hands on the book, I've forgotten the name of the author. It's titled Dreams and Visions. Now, why am I talking about this? So you see, Jesus is not an alternative way. Once I saw, of course, you know the way America is, all the political correctness, everybody wants, you don't want to hurt the next person. A 62-year-old man decides that he's a woman. The president congratulates him and says it takes courage to do the madness. Are you getting my point? you know the way America is. So one day, Joel Austin was being interviewed. I don't know the first part of the interview, but apparently he didn't handle the first interview with either Larry King or somebody well. I'm talking about, is Jesus the only way? That's how they corner you. Is Jesus the only way? But I saw a YouTube video later of a second interview with this woman. The woman, Oprah Winfrey. Oprah Winfrey asked him, are you saying Jesus is the only way to God? He gave an answer which many Christians were not happy with, but I said this is the correct answer. He said, there are many ways to Jesus, but Jesus is the only way to God the Father. I said, this man has come of age. Yes, he said there are many ways to Jesus. Cornelius used being a proselyte of Judaism, he got to Jesus. The stories I've told, people use Islam, they get to Jesus. There are Buddhists who have used Buddhism and then they found Jesus. No matter what you are looking for, once you are looking for the Father, Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one can come to the Father. Jew, Gentile, Muslim, Iranian, Nigerian, Portuguese, whatever it is. No one comes to the Father except through me. That thing is not bragging. It's a statement of fact. It wasn't bragging. He was like a doctor telling you, you are dehydrated. We need to give you water. If you say, no, I took an oath, I'll never drink again. That's your problem. You are dehydrated. You need water. Please listen to, I'm going to explain something here. Jesus is not another religion. He's not. He's literally the hope of mankind. He's the solution that God gave to the whole of the human race to solve all their problems. That is why it is very, very, now you understand why Paul was angry. When somebody said, you need Moses to make Jesus complete. Like you say in Nigeria, now the man provoke. Now what kind of joke is this? Moses rejoiced when he heard that one day Jesus will come. Moses lived his life to create a path through which Jesus will come. You are telling me now we need Moses for the completion of Jesus? That must be a joke. That's why he was angry. What am I saying? The problem with people is that they have not yet understood Christ Jesus enough. That's the problem. It is not that they are in bondage, it's that they don't realize what Jesus has done for them. I said, look, we have to offer sacrifices. That's where people make the mistake. If you read the book of Hebrews chapter 1, it said God, who long ago in diverse ways spoke to the fathers, now in this last time has spoken in his Son, who he made heir of all things. Now there's an interesting part there. Listen. There's a division into two sides, and you see where I'm going in a moment. What the writer of Hebrews was stating specifically had to do with the laws of Moses. Talk about their fathers, talk about different things that happened, and then Jesus came. But if you look at it carefully, that was one part of a revelation that applied to everybody. What I mean is this. As God was speaking in diverse ways to the fathers in Israel, he was speaking in diverse ways to the fathers in Africa. One thing I say in Enugu, jokingly, but God knows I believe it. I say Christians are babalawos. When I say it, what do you mean? You know, babalawo is a Yoruba word, which connotes, in the people's mind, when you hear it, you think of an occultist, right? You think of a diviner. I said, no, literally Yoruba, it means a man who understands mysteries. Awo in Yoruba just means deep things. It just means this thing is deep. So there are men who gather and they learn those things. Now, you see where I'm going? Now, Christians, let me just quickly end that. They are the ones that are partakers of the deepest mysteries of God. That's why I call them the people that understand mysteries. I'm going somewhere. Now, so the original Ifa people of those days, this is my understanding of life. They were the ways by which God spoke to people, at least let's use Western Nigeria, okay, to illustrate Africa. They were the ways by which God spoke to people those days. No, God literally used to speak through them. We know, I mean, you've heard the story of how missionaries arrived in Egbaland. The Ifa priests told their king that they were coming. One morning during the divination, they had revelation, and revelation, God told them that he's sending them messengers that will teach them the truth. So they went to the king and said, listen, please, oh, we have a revelation. So when the missionaries arrived, they met a people waiting for them. I have a book in my house titled The Spirit of Mindoro, one part of China. Was it China or South America? Somewhere. In which people, they had prophecies for 300 years, you know, waiting. That one day, God will send them messengers that will come and give them the message of liberation. When missionaries entered that jungle, they were surprised that these primitive people had prophecies to recite, that we knew you would come one day. Thank God our prophecy has now been fulfilled. That was God speaking in diverse ways, different ways, to the fathers. As part of it, now listen to what I'm going to say. As part of that, and it's not just, like I said earlier, you find every nation of people, every group of people has sacrifices. Sacrifices are part of life. They were part of life. When Noah came out of the ark, the fact that God had judged the earth, did not mean that all the problems had been solved. God wiped everything out, but the earth was still polluted. Are you getting my point? So to reduce the influence of the pollution, you know, when God was telling Noah to take animals into the ark, how many animals did he take? How many? Apart from clean animals, in which he took 7. Why? God made preparation for the sacrifice after the flood. So when Noah came out of the ark, what was the first thing he did? He took of the clean animals and offered the sacrifice to the Lord, and God smelt a sweet savour, and he said, henceforth, I will no longer wipe out the earth by this kind of flood. That is, his anger was quelled by that sacrifice. What am I trying to say? Sacrifices have been part of life. Jews sacrificed. Igbos sacrificed. Hausa sacrificed. Yoruba sacrificed. Rivers people sacrificed. Cameroonians sacrificed. There is no part of this world where their ancestors did not offer sacrifices. There was no part of the world. They were offering sacrifices. In fact, I heard something. These things, they are very, very funny when you look at them closely. They are so similar to each other, even though they look so far apart. Do you know, I heard that in parts of Yoruba land, I've forgotten where exactly now, my teacher told me this, taught our class when we were learning Yoruba language, you know, some of those in secondary school. I think it's my mom or somebody that told me the story that even our hometown used to be like that. That at a particular time of the year, they will take a slave, listen to this, a slave, a human being, and they will make the person walk through the town. I don't know my teachers that told me this. He walked through the whole town. They will chain him, of course, and they will lead him on a parade through the whole town. And people will start declaring, listen to this, they will say, assuming it's a new, you know, yam festival, they have their own year, seasons. It's a new year. Let's just say 2016 as an example. It wasn't 2016. This was long ago. They will say, for this new year, all my problems on your head. I hereby release all my troubles, all the weeping that will have come to me this new year, carry it with you. As the slave is passing through the streets of the town, people will be coming out and declaring, all my sicknesses are on your head. I said, this is just exactly the scapegoat that the Bible talked about. Then when he has gone, they take a slave. After he has gone through the whole city, they will now lead him out and sacrifice him. And the person telling the story said, but of course, with modern things, they now changed that. They stopped using a human being. They started using a goat or a cow. So they will lead the same animal. I said, this is exactly what God told Moses to do. They will take an animal. The high priest will put a hand on his head and confess all the sins of the people. And then they will lead the animal out and lead it out into the city. Into the wilderness. There have been different interpretations. The general one is that a wild beast will go there and kill the animal. That would be like if a sacrifice has been offered. Why am I telling this story? You see that sacrifices are not new. It's not an African thing. God spoke long ago in divert manners to the fathers. But there is something he said next. And that word is but. B-U-T. But in these last days, he has spoken in his son. That is, the moment Jesus came, every form of sacrifice is outdated, is now history. That's where I'm going. The moment Jesus came, so if you see a man going to a shrine, listen to this, and they say, sacrifice a goat, he should tell them it's no longer necessary. If he had told me before I heard the gospel of Jesus, I would have done it. If he had said this before Jesus came, it would have been right. But God, because you see, I need to explain this. Forget all this fear of the devil. God is the judge of the whole earth. Any sacrifice like that he offer, God has to accept it. So what the person needs to tell the priest is that, listen, this your sacrifice is no longer acceptable. The God you are sacrificing to said no. This was supposed to be a foreshadowing. Because what happened to that African slave that they were leading through the town is exactly what happened to Jesus. That was exactly how the Romans led him through Jerusalem and then took him out of Jerusalem to the hill and crucified him. What that did was to make an end to every form of sacrifices that human beings will want to offer. Not only Jews, anybody in any part of the world. The Chinese man now has no business sacrificing anything. What is he supposed to sacrifice? I will explain it later. All he just needs to do, first of all, is to recognize. Is that recognition? That indeed, Jesus has been sacrificed for my sake. So when they say, offer a sacrifice, they say, good, we're going to do that. How do we do it? We stand, put up our hands and say, Father, we thank you. We hereby offer you the sacrifice of Jesus that you offered by yourself long ago. We receive it in Jesus' name. Amen. No other sacrifice is needed. I hope you're getting my point here. The problem is that people often don't recognize it. I know one of the things I found out about a lot of us preachers is because we don't understand some of these mysteries the way they work. People now start talking about fighting spiritual battles. That it is, I don't mean to be critical. They say it's altar versus altar. I have never understood. Please, if you have a revelation on it, share with me at the end. I don't understand it. There are no altars again that can speak. Are you getting my point here? No, there are no altars again that can speak. They don't exist anymore. Anyone who wants to talk now must be offering up words. The Bible says that the blood of Jesus speaks better things than the blood of Abel. He has to be offering up words in accordance with what the blood of Jesus is speaking. So I don't understand altar versus altar. I'm sorry to say it. Look, ask my wife. She has known me for more than 17 years. Been married for 17 years. Now, we have never sat down in the house to pray one day. Every altar rising up against us. How can they rise up against who? I hope you're getting my point here. Listen, I told that story to let you know that those days, yes, they used to have altars. They used to have sacrifices they offered. They used to have. But the moment Jesus came, all of them lost all their power. Let me say it again. The moment Jesus came, every single one of those altars lost its power. I don't have the time to be fighting another altar. I don't know whether you're getting my point. The Bible said that he brought the principalities to what? Nothing. Nothing. It's like saying 100 versus 0. Is that a good argument? Listen, the way life is, when you want to fight battles, this is how it is. You remember boxing? They have weight categories. I don't know it well, but I know there's featherweight. That's for small, small people. And then at the other extreme, you have heavyweight, and then there's even one above heavyweight, super heavyweight. They don't match heavyweight with lightweight or with featherweight. They don't do that. It's not a fair contest. So let's look at it. The Bible says that Jesus brought them to nothing. Therefore, even if human beings know that in boxing, you don't match featherweight with heavyweight, how will God not be matching zero weight with Jesus' weight? I hope you're getting my point. That is the simple reason why I don't understand when people say it's altar versus altar. Which altar are you arguing over? Please, I hope you're following my point here. I said all of this to let us understand that, listen, sacrifices are part of life. They were part of every culture. But the person that put an end to it, to them, his name is Jesus. And the moment Jesus was offered, he said, there's no other sacrifice that people need to offer. For that reason, I need to say this now. There are what I call New Testament sacrifices. And let me quickly say what it means. It's things like thanksgiving. Sacrifice of praise. Are you getting my point? You put up your hands and say, everybody, let us rise to our feet. Let's raise our hands and worship the Lord. The Bible takes that as a sacrifice that's coming up to him. But I'm talking about somebody doing something so as to get deliverance. Anyone that wants to offer any sacrifice now does only one of two things. Either you come up acknowledging what Jesus has done, or you are committing a sin. That was why Paul was angry. When somebody said to them, listen, guys, we need to add something to what Jesus has done. He was very angry, and he warned that those who are believing it, they are departing away from God. And he said, those who are preaching it, he said, let them be accursed. Listen, let me end today's message by explaining something here. There is nothing God is doing for you or doing for me that is not because of what Jesus has done. Let me say it again. There is nothing God is doing for you or doing for me that is for any other reason apart from the fact that Jesus paid the price. This is the one that is most controversial, but I have to say it. God is not prospering you because you give. Giving is good. Every Christian must be a giver. But God is not prospering you because you gave. God prospers you because Jesus died. God is not healing you because you jog. Healing is not a byproduct of healthy diet. Health is not a byproduct of exercise. My classmates, we have a chat group of those of us who graduated from University of Benin at the same time. That's College of Medicine. And if about 3 weeks ago, they were telling somebody, sorry, oh, sorry. I said, what is sorry? A good friend just died jogging in London. He left the house, tied his shoes, told the wife, I want to go run. That was the last time his wife saw him alive. Two things about it which struck me. One, he was in London, not in Nigeria. Because many people who are in London, when they hear somebody died in Nigeria, is that the problem with that country? People just, they die anyhow. They die anyhow in America. Let's get that one clear. And then they talk as if they die anyhow anywhere. People die anyhow all over the world.